With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome, dear listener, to this week's Evo Stick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's matches in the league and, of course, in the FA Trophy, as we're joined this week by James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group and, of course, your friend and mine, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. All of that and a little bit more on this week's Evo Stick Extra. So hello and welcome to the show. So, welcome everybody to this week's Evo Stick Extra. And firstly, we'd like to make a public apology to the following football clubs of the Northern Premier League, Sutton Coldfield Town and Ashton United. On behalf of myself and James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, we'd like to apologise to both clubs for missing you off last week's MPL show fixture preview. It wasn't my fault, it was James's fault. There.
I blame Jim Gannon.
That's a good apology. But seriously, Ashton United and Sutton Coldfield, we do apologise. Anyway, enough about that. We'll be covering the league results off very shortly. But before that, it's now time to draw our eyes to the FA Cup. And, well, commiserations to both Stourbridge and, in particular, I'm going to suggest Northwich Victoria, whose defeat against Northampton Town was particularly harsh, I'm going to suggest. We'll start with that one. Northampton Town 3, Northwich Victoria 2. Still in that tie on the 87th minute, winning the tie on the 83rd minute. It's a harsh one, isn't it?
You can't really put it into words what happened. It was just a mad 3 minutes by the sounds of it as well, where Northwich were all over him for the entirety of the match. And then all of a sudden, a blitzkrieg within 3 minutes, straight off. Crowd of 4,000 there as well, watching Northwich Victoria. I'm still struggling to find that words, even watching the replay over and over to see what actually went wrong.
Commiserations, Northwich Victoria. It's a hell of an effort to go 2-0 up at a league club the way you did. And I think you deserve far better than that. But at least there's good publicity there, and I believe they were on overseas as well. So it's harsh, but you know,
a little bit of money there.
Yeah, and Stourbridge as well. We said it was always going to be tough against Eastleigh. They gave Eastleigh a good run for the money as well. 2,000 fans there, over 2,000 fans in the West Midlands, but unfortunately it was Stourbridge 0, Eastleigh 2, ending Stourbridge's hopes of getting through to the third round.
Yeah, I think Richard last week as well said that this was going to be one way or another for what happened in that game. And unfortunately, it went the wrong way with that one as well. Stourbridge put up a good fight as well, looking at the highlights. I believe they were on one of the other like international channels as well. But I'd feel more sorry for what would have happened had they gone through, because Eastleigh have pretty much been given a ticket to the fourth round, in my opinion.
Okay,
who's Eastleigh? Home tag. They would have had Bolton Wanderers.
Bolton Wanderers, that's not that dead, sir, but that would have been a hell of a game for Stourbridge, but don't rub it in, James.
I'm not trying to, but...
but it's not all bad news. Salford City, they took Hartlepool United to a draw. Me and thee were there, of course, at Moor Lane, being in the local area, both at either end of the 98 bus route. We decided to go down to Moor Lane, and we went there, and we witnessed... what I'm going to suggest was a very good comeback, because as soon as Hartlepool United went 1-0 up after 8 minutes, I think myself, you and Aaron from the Mirror, both we all said, that's good night now. But Salford fought the way back.
Yeah, Salford were a better team on the night as well, as you said there. Entirety of the game just didn't start back one little bit. I still debate that penalty as well, in my opinion. Everyone I've said was saying it was an absolute stonewall, but it didn't look that clear to me. It looked like Reesol's trip just fell over from my angle. But
James, no one cares what you think about this fixture. But
exactly.
I do know for a fact that someone went down to Salford on Friday night and got some interviews, didn't they, James?
Indeed, I did.
Indeed, you did. Yes. So coming up next are some interviews that James Hayes did on Friday night. Go on, tee these up.
Interview with Miss Karen Baird, chairwoman of Salford City, and with Bernard Morley, co-manager of Salford City as well.
Well, let's hear those interviews now.
Quickly joined by Karen Bard, obviously chairwoman here at Salford City. It's mixed thoughts everywhere at the moment. What's yours at the moment?
I feel like we probably did enough to win it. It's a shame we didn't. And at the end of the day, we played a league team again and they've not scored. They've just in out open play. They've scored a penalty, haven't they? We've done really well. We're in the next round of the hat, whatever, aren't we? So, no, it's a great result, really good result.
Yeah, I mean, coming on to the second half as well. Yeah. So, and personally, I think with Ben and all the rest of the NPL going tonight as well, thought Salford did deserve to win the game. Pushing forward against midweek in Hartlepool, Blythe have known us to do it in the past.
You never know. An hour away from too far is pretty hot,
exactly.
Isn't it? So, anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly. No worries. Anyone fancying the next round?
Any Premier League the way I do.
I won't mention one certain one. No, cheers, Kevin. joined by Mr. Bernard Morley here as well. I don't know what to say about that one yourself. Obviously, Salford, in my personal opinion, did deserve to win that one. But your thoughts on the game?
I think a 1-1 draw is a fair reflect on the game. I think we did enough to win it, and I think they did enough to win it. You know, I think we've been the stronger side over the 90 minutes, but chances wise, they've missed a couple of chances, and I think we've missed. You know, Lewis Hardcastle in the 60th minute missed a decent goal scoring opportunity. Lynch's done well, and obviously James Poole's worked the keeper really well. So I'm under no illusions that, you know, it's been one sided. It's not. I think it's been a good game, but it's, you know, obviously the positive is that we're holding our own against league clubs.
Yeah, obviously with obviously a lot of people were starting to say a lot of luck was in the facts in the game. Obviously coming second, especially the last 10 minutes, free kicks which could have found us. Would you say that's a fair comment as well? Or?
Well, yeah. Listen, everyone's got their own opinion, haven't they? I think, like you say, we 5 minutes ago, James Bull stands on the ball. That free kick, you know, it had a lot, hell of a lot on it. You know, if it goes in, you're potentially signed, sealed in the third round proper. But again, people's opinions will be different. Will people say, at the end of the day, we're a semi-professional football team with, you know, 50% of the lads work this morning, and we've turned out tonight, and I think they've done the city proud in terms of holding their own against a League Two side.
Finally, obviously, got to go up there now on a Tuesday night. Any different plans than you would do to say, like, Darlington or Spennymoor?
The fate is that we was meant to be at Darlington that night, so you know it's meant to have happened. I hope they don't show us as much respect as what they've done today, which I don't think they will. I think they'll think they can get us back up there and beat us comfortably. But we're a good side, and I've just said, you know, echo what I said. You know, we had one or two Kerry Knocks today that I played, so it's important that we just get everybody right for Saturday, get a decent result here Saturday, and then we can move on to Tuesday night.
Yeah, and finally, without putting any hoodoos or anything, anyone you fancy in the next round if you get through?
City or United.
So there you go, James. At time of recording, i.e. we're recording this now, I don't actually know what was said in those interviews, but were they good interviews?
They were good interviews, and I do feel what they said is actually true on the night. As much as we're trying to get interviews on the night as well, as soon as obviously the main ones with BBC had to be done, trying to speak with the players, not one of them it's hard to put into words what I'm trying to say here, but not one player wanted to speak to me, not because it's like
you said there was an air of deflation. You said there was an air of deflation around. It felt like they should have won. And to be fair, I could see why. They were all over Hartlepool United. You don't really get. It's not really known for a lower league side to go to the replay and get a good result. But if anyone can, I think Salford can. And that replay is taking place next week, isn't it? And it'll be on BT Sport.
Next Tuesday,
it'll be on BT Sport.
The only plus side for that one with Salford is they were going up that what sort of way anyway, because they would have been playing Darlington on that night in the league.
All right.
So. Even then, the replay is always going to be tougher, and I think Hartlepool are going to be stepping up the game for this one. But the reward's there with a hometown derby county, so.
And we wish Salford City well in that replay on Tuesday. But anyway, to the league matters now, and well, let's start up at the top of the table. And Blythe Spartans are currently top of the table. They've now taken over from Nantwich Town. Blythe Spartans are currently top, leading Nantwich Town by 2 points. Blythe Spartans have played a game less, and they've done that pretty much by beating Marine on Saturday afternoon by 2-0 in front of 414 fans. A very good result that for Blythe Spartans, James.
Good attendance as well. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of obviously a lot of postponements last weekend as well, so it was a great opportunity for Blythe to try and put some pressure on Nantwich there, I think. And Dan McGuire starting to get back on the score sheet again.
Now, obviously, Nantwich haven't been in action in recent days in the league. What's crucially happening now is that Blyth Spartans just Blyth Spartans. I remember it being that they're closing the gap with the number of games now, and it's important that Nantwich Town stay in this area now that the teams around them are starting to catch up and maybe getting points on the board. Currently in third position, we've got Salford City. They played a mammoth 3 games less than Nantwich Town. They're only 3 points behind them. Obviously, on Saturday, they didn't play for obvious reasons. Workington, they're currently 4th, same number of points as Salford City. However, Workington had played 3 games more. However, the last time they played was on Saturday, and they beat Buxton, which is no mean feat, by 2-0 away from home.
It's definitely no mean feat, but Buxton now have lost 3 in a row, and that's not happened for quite a while. Even last year when he's commanding the league for a little bit while, and I think they only lost like once or twice in the trot rather than falling from grace, because he got beat quite soundly midweek as well by Bradford Park Avenue in the FA Trophy. This is a different Buxton side from what I've seen this season when they absolutely slaughtered us in the FA Trophy. I don't know if it's something to worry about or if it's a huge injury worry, but even then, Buxton's pitch at the worst of times, good at show ways works in their favour. So if working to go down and get a result like that is fantastic for them, and obviously now 4th in the table. I think Swampy remember saying for teams to look out for at this point, not for the title, but for like a late running. This is obviously the opportunity of Workington to run forward with it now.
Now, Darlington are currently 5th. They've not played though recently. They're currently 1 point behind Workington, got 3 games in hand. They played the same number of games as Salford City. Not out of this title picture at all. They just need to start playing some league matches, I feel. In 6th position, we've got Aston United, 1 point outside the playoffs, played 1 game more than Darlington. On Saturday afternoon, we mentioned it earlier, they beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 3-0. You could argue a bit flattering because one of those goals was on the 90th minute. But still, Aston United, another good result on the board.
Yeah, and Martin Pilkington's back on the score sheets as well. Yes. Key player for them last season, especially because I think they've lost one or two players recently as well, strike-wise. Oh, if some Aston fan would like to tweet me, tell me where I've gone wrong there. But if they've got capability in the striking force, especially because they've got the legendary Jody Banning at the moment playing for him.
Now, Ilson are currently in 7th position, 1 point off the playoff positions. They played 2 games more than Darlington. They played 1 game more than Aston United. This next result, though, combines a bit of relegation as well, so I might as well mention that as well. Ramsbottom United are currently bottom of the table. They've been there all season. They're now 12 points from safety. They played a number of games more than Marine, but they played games less than the teams just above them. However, at the weekend, not a good result for Ramsbottom United, but a good result for Ilson. 3-0 for Ilkeston in front of 432 supporters.
The only thing that's going well for Ramsbottom at the moment is the fact that they've had games called off, so they've got that bit of time to rest. But again, Gary Vaughan's going to have his work cut out, especially because now we're going to talk a bit more about this in a couple of minutes, I believe, anyway. But obviously, 3 games more than Marine at the moment and 12 points behind. That sort of thing you need to look at later on in the season. Going back to Wilkeston, fantastic form there as well. And they've got a great foothold to work on at the moment too.
Now, Stamford, they're currently 2nd from bottom, 5 points ahead of Ramsbottom, 7 points from safety. Stamford at the weekend got a cracking result in a 6-pointer. We said it was going to be a 6-pointer against Michelover Sports. Michelover Sports are currently 18th, but they played a lot of games. They played quite a few more games than those teams around them. They played 3 games more than Stamford, so it really was a must-win for Stamford, this one. And Stamford won away from home by 1-0, a 58-minute goal there for Jake Duffy.
Yeah, fantastic result there for Stamford. I think, obviously, Stampy's in his nice little celebration at the moment. I don't want to curse it, because obviously they've got Downs at home on Saturday for what would be his 500th match consecutive of watching. Putting Jamie Vardy to disgrace there. Stamford needed a result, and again, they've been waiting for this for quite a while. Putting more pressure on Mikulova. Mikulova's games in hand now could work against him. Mm-hmm. Even though mathematically, they would only drop below Colin Bay if all the teams below him would won games and still have a point. Won't be behind by a point. That doesn't make much sense at this moment in time, though. It's what they can do when other teams around them fail to get the results against the likes like Matlock, Sutton Kilfield, Buxton, Frickley. Put that pressure on now before it's too late.
We've got some other results as well from midweek involving teams down that bottom end of the table. Grantham Town, for a long time, were in the relegation spots. Of recent weeks, they've started to move out. However, this isn't a good result from Tuesday night. Rushall Olympic 4, Grantham Town 0. Not a good result, that, for Grantham. And we should mention Sutton Coldfield now. I don't necessarily think they've got anything to worry about, but getting beat 3-0 against Ashton United, and then following that up on a Tuesday night, getting beat at Barwell by 2-0. Sutton Coldfield starting to drop a bit, I'm going to suggest. But firstly, Grantham Town, that 4-0 in the week.
Yeah, Grantham Town, I think they're still... They're a little weird team, Ellen. They seem to play it better when they're playing the likes of Blyth, Salford, Workington. They've had fantastic results in the last couple of weeks, beating Salford at home. Salford away. Blyth, I think they've got a couple of... I think they've played twice and drew twice with that one as well. So they seem to turn on at the moment against the teams up higher up, but not with the likes, again, of Buxton, Sutton Coldfield, Marine, I think they struggle against as well. So I think, again, they got out with relegation zone at the right time, I reckon.
And we should say Barwell have had a very good week. That was their fifth goal of the week on that match midweek. That's because on Saturday, Barwell went to Matlock Town and beat them by 3-1. So a good set of results that for Barwell. And just to conclude the fixtures from this past weekend, Hales Owen Town 1, Hyde United 1. And I think that's... That stopped a bit of a slump for Hyde United, that one.
Yeah. I mean, Berkey's happy that they've been knocked out of the Manchester Cup now anyway, but rest of the have had a better, I think. Hyde, they've still got the potential to get push up there, but the game's starting to work against them now. I think after the start of the season, when they were rock bottom of the table, I think they'd be happy with 12th if everything stayed as it is now. But if they've had a lot of capability, like high up in the tail. Everyone's, don't forget, they were 4th at one point. Not about 3-4 weeks ago. So potential's still there to get back up there, but it's now working against them. Obviously, you get a lot the likes of Salford, Darlington and Ashton United winning week in, week out again. That's going to get even further and further away for them to get there. I think they've got the eyes. I know Berkey's got his more eyes on more on the Dukeson Cup this year.
Hey, now you come to mention it, it's now time for this week's Integro Dudeson League Cup second round update. Boom! Yes, the Dudeson's taken place in recent weeks, and we need to really cover that off, I feel. This past week, on Tuesday night, only one game survived the weather, and that was Stafford Rangers against Kidsgrove Athletic, which is a bit of a boom-banger-bang fixture, and it finished 2-2 with an equaliser coming from Kidsgrove Athletic on the 90th minute from Jack Sherratt, and Kidsgrove won 5-3 on penalties. So congratulations to Kidsgrove making it through to the next round. James, anything else to add?
I'm trying to look around quickly. Congratulations once again to Jordy Bannon for keeping his English record going after Jamie Vardy failed to score on Saturday. Sky Sports seems to forget his football outside the top 92. So, Jordy Bannon's record of 14 consecutive goals stands. No mentions of which club that was at, though.
What club was that?
I've been banned from saying that answer.
Hey?
It's a certain club up in Bury that play in blue and that are rubbish at the moment.
Really? Is that a proper English record and it's held by Radcliffe Borough?
It is indeed.
My goodness. I'm going to check that before I publicise this podcast this week. I've not got time to check. So, listener, take that fact that Teagot's just given you there with a big pinch of salt, just in case. Not that I doubt you, James, but you know.
He was in the Independent, it's true, put it that way.
Well, they must be true. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, how can people keep abreast of everything that's going on in the Northern Premier League and that kind of thing?
At facebook.com/groups/the MPL. on Twitter at the MPL group, and like the 20 of you did at halftime on Friday night on Periscope every now and again as well.
Perfect. James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. Much appreciated.
All right, thank you, Ben.
Well, enough about the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And joining me now to draw our eyes in the future, it's Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Hello, Ben. Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
I am good. Now, the biggest question, though, that a lot of followers of the Northern Premier League are going to ask is there's been a bit of chopping and changing going on at Whitby Town over the last fortnight or so. We spoke to Mark Carruthers at the Non-League Daily last week, and really, everyone wants to know, Andy, are you okay? Is everything all right?
they always ask that. Yeah, I am absolutely fine. Whitby have appointed Chris Hardy, the former Gisborne Town manager, in place of Darren Williams. Darren was very, very popular, one of the most popular managers Whitby have had, so a lot of supporters, myself included, were a bit miffed when he was sacked just under 2 weeks ago. Chris Hardy has a good pedigree. He's a similar sort of manager to Darren Williams in that he's quite a young boss. He's only 40, plays a good footballing style, likes to play properly. But the position Whitby are in, you know, it's about points, isn't it? It's about getting points on the board as quickly as possible. You know, 17 points from 22 games, it's not ideal, but I guess it's a very close Northern Premier League as usual, so we feel that we're still in with a chance. We're not even at Christmas yet, not
absolutely
quite.
Yeah, it's early days. Right, let's first things first, FA Cup on Tuesday night. We've got you on. I know you're from North Yorkshire technically, but we'll gloss over that and say you're from the North East. When it comes to the FA Cup replay between Salford City and Hartlepool United, we all remember Blythe's trip to Hartlepool United. I mean, what do you think for Tuesday?
can of worms opened. We're North East and North Yorkshire. Hartlepool were already been stung once by Blythe last season. I felt that against Salford that they were right up for it. It was a really, really good cup tie, I thought. Just where I sat in and watched that one. And I really don't know which way it's going to go in the replay, because it was so even. You wouldn't have had a clue who was in what league if you'd have just witnessed that randomly without the knowledge. It was a really, really good cup tie. You think that if these games go on, the more they're played, statistically, you would think that the stronger, the higher level would win. So I'll lean towards Hartlepool, but yeah, it'll be a really good cup tie again, I think. And of course, Salford's away record. Nobody comes close, really, in this league.
No, absolutely. And we wish all the best to Salford for Tuesday night. Right, speaking of cup competitions, not technically a cup, but a trophy. First round on Saturday, and I think everyone's caught up now, including the Marine Bursko issue. I think that's all caught up as well. So let's discuss first round fixtures on Saturday, starting with this one here. AFC Fylde against Skelmersdale United. What do you reckon for this one?
Well, I mean, Skelmersdale struggling in the league, sixth from bottom, and yet they got that fantastic victory over Conference North Chorley, 5-2 in the replay last week. And you think Fylde also, just like Chorley, recently in the NPL, they'll think they have a chance, Skelmersdale. They really will. It'll be another terrific game of football. You know, Tommy Lawton likes to send his sides out. They play an attacking style of football, and they're known for scoring spectacular goals. They don't always defend as well as they could, but going forward, they're a match for anybody, and that includes the Conference North sides, who, of course, we've fared very well against, haven't we, in
absolutely
recent rounds?
We've got flying the flag for Division 1 North. We've got Bursko against Geisler. Now, Bursko, I think everyone pretty much nailed it in the NPL show last week, that if they got, whoever they got, be it Kidsgrove or Marine, Bursko were going to win. And Bursko did win. And I don't think this is a foregone conclusion, this one against Geisler, is it?
Definitely not. Bursko, former FA Trophy winners in recent times. It can be done. They've obviously got that cup pedigree, and just because of the two-division gap, the results bore out that makes very little difference when it comes to a one-off FA Trophy tie. Bursko have a terrific chance.
Absolutely. Find the flag for Division 1 South now. Stocksbridge Park Steels created a bit of an upset in the last round, knocking out the holders Northobia United. On Saturday, they travel up to Gateshead.
Goodness me. And Gateshead not in the best form as well. Despite their change of manager as well, their chairman's become impatient with how things have gone there and made that change. Stocksbridge, you know what I'm liking as well? The Jamie Vardy affair, of course. Fleetwood get a lot of airtime over that. He was at Stocksbridge long before, hammering goals past Whitby on almost a weekly basis. He was in our league for some time as well before Halifax picked him up and then the great journey that he went on. So, yeah, it was good that Stocksbridge had been mentioned a few times in dispatches relating to Jamie Vardy. That's where he really cut his teeth for me, Bracken. Terrific chance against Gateshead. It doesn't matter what's happening in the league. The cup, it's always in the balance, 11 against 11. Cliche. Stocksbridge have a great chance.
And listener, you might have noticed that we managed to get nearly to the end of the show without Jamie Vardy being mentioned. That would have been the first in about 4 weeks. But can't be helped, I'm afraid. Can't be helped.
Milking's happening.
Right. Also on Saturday, we've got, just to say this isn't a local derby, Andy, just in case you were thinking it, Macclesfield Town against Ashton United. Now, Ashton United have gone through a bit of a renaissance of late. They're beating everyone, really. But this one's going to be really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in my book, it is a local derby. You could do a sponsored walk between Macclesfield and Ashton. Yeah, absolutely. Ashton, a terrific side, really, really strong side. They managed to combine being physically tough and organised with actually playing some really, really good football, like some Martin Pilkington going forward and the quality that they have. I think it could well be another weekend of MPL sides pulling off terrific upsets.
Right. It would be an upset, that one. I don't think anyone round the table, apart from the host, was saying Ashton United could win that. But the good news is, Ashton United fans, that I've been quite good recently with my predictions, and I think you've got a good chance. Nantwich Town against Matlock Town. It's an all-MPL affair, and Daniel Owen's been in touch to say hopefully a win for the Dabbers and progression into the next round of the trophy. I'm going to suggest, though, that Nantwich might be... Do you reckon they're more concerned about the league at the moment and they'd much rather be playing a league game? I don't necessarily think that's true, but I'm just throwing it out there as a question.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I wonder what the fans think about whether it's almost helpful if they go out of the trophy and they can concentrate on the league campaign. I'm sure a lot of them, with respect, weren't expecting to be where they are, second in the league, playing terrific football, scoring an absolute sack full of goals. And Matlock, though, you know, we saw him in the last round beating Blythe. That was a bizarre game, just going by the match highlights. Blythe missing chance after chance after chance. Matlock clinical in front of goal. That might be the case again on Saturday. I'm going to put the kiss of death on it. Apologies to supporters going into the game. There's going to be loads of goals there.
Oh, probably PP, I'm going to suggest. Also,
the match won't even take place. That is a jinx. Wow.
check before you set off, Nantwich and Matlock Town fans. Anyway, moving on. Saturday, Stourbridge against Kidderminster Harriers. Possibly tie of the round, I'm going to suggest, just for geography, for FA Cup story from a month or so ago. Stourbridge have got a good chance here.
I was going to say, Kidderminster with revenge on the mind. It's definitely a derby, this one. I've checked. You wonder with Kidderminster, there's sort of not the most positive feeling there. There's issues there. That it's not been a great season for them. Stourbridge will certainly fancy those chances after already knocking them out of the FA Cup along the way. Could be tired around. You may well be right, but, you know, law of averages, you think Kidderminster are due a win back. Well, we'll see.
And lastly, in the FA Trophy on Saturday, we've got this one here. Sutton Coldfield Town hosting Barrow. And Peter Bibbings has been in touch to say, playing Barrow in the trophy, don't expect a great deal from the match, but only hope that we don't get a draw, as the last thing we need right now is a midweek trip to Barrow. Just to say, Peter, Barrow is a lovely place. Can I keep a straight face at that? Yeah, I can. It is nice. Stop laughing, Andy. Right. So Sutton Coldfield Town, they've had a bit of an iffy week this week with two defeats in the league. What do you think?
It depends on how Barrow work with the artificial pitch there at Sutton. I think it's one of the it's a great surface to play on. It certainly plays well as regards to artificial surfaces, 4G there, and I think that will be the big difference whether Barrow can adjust to that surface. That will be the acid test.
Right, that's the FA Trophy. We wish all the sides the best of luck in the FA Trophy this weekend. And, yeah, good luck. We hope you all win, including Nantwich and Matlock, even though you're playing each other. Right, moving on into the league, and there's a plethora of league fixtures this weekend, despite the FA Trophy. And where should we start? Well, Nantwich are in the FA Trophy, so we should start with the league leaders who replaced them this past week up at the top, Blyth Spartans. They're hosting Barwell, and Barwell have had a good week, two league victories over the past week or so. What do you think?
I think that Barwell, even though they're in ninth spot, will still have ambitions for that league title. It's so open up the top there. They've got games in hand. They'll think that this is a huge match for them. Blyth, they have shown that they are vulnerable. They can lose games. They lost to Matlock recently, as we mentioned, in the trophy. They are a terrific side, though, having seen them. I haven't seen Barwell yet this season. They're usually a robust team, but I could be doing them a disservice this time around. They did very well in the FA Cup, very close to getting through to the first round proper, and it'll be a really, really good game. But yeah, Barwell, even as low as they are, I think they've still got a chance in that promotion shake-up.
Oh, sorry. You know what I had in my mind then? Because I was looking at the next fixture, I thought you said Stamford. And I was like, No, they haven't, surely. But anyway, that's my poor presenting skills and poor listening skills shining through there, Andy. I do apologise.
Don't worry about that. It's never held me back.
Speaking of Stamford then, Darlington 1883 are travelling to Stamford this weekend. Stamford, they've had a league victory against Micklethwaite, and as we pointed out earlier, and Darlington have not been in league action for a while now, and I think Darlington really need to get 3 points on the board here, don't they?
Indeed, but Stamford yet to get a league win at home.
True.
They're a lovely new stadium, but not working out so well for the home side in that one. As you said, Darlington haven't played in some time, and Stamford will certainly be right up for that one. A good win for them, could see them going up 2 places. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. Darlington, with the firepower that they have, even with the rustiness possible, with the lack of games played recently, you would have to fancy them.
Now, Workington, they've moved up into the playoff positions. They've been hovering around now for a good couple of weeks now, but they're well and truly in the playoff pictures now. Currently 5 points off the league leaders as well. They have played a game more, but title is on for Workington, I'm going to suggest. And this weekend, Workington are hosting Frickley Athletic.
Yeah, well, Frickley having a pretty decent season all round. Always a tough place to go, Borough Park. Workington, interesting side. Only lost 4 times in the league in 21 games. That's a pretty formidable record. But they can be beaten. I think playing on the break against somebody like Workington can be helpful. It worked for Whitby. I mean, you know, if you can lose to Whitby, you can certainly lose to Frickley on the weekend. But yeah, you would fancy Workington with just 1 defeat at home in the league this season so far.
Now, this next fixture, it could go one or two ways. I know that's a silly thing to say, but bear with me, listener. Ilkeston, if they get a victory at Rushall, they could see themselves in the playoff picture. If Rushall get a win, they too can see themselves knocking on the door of the playoff spots, which is quite remarkable considering where Rushall were a couple of weeks ago. What do you think for this one then, Rushall against Ilkeston?
Yeah, third and 12th, separated by 6 points, which is absolutely ridiculous. Ilkeston with a good win at the weekend, albeit against Ramsbottom, who were struggling. Just 1 defeat at home, though, could be the key there at the new Manor Ground for them. Welcoming Rushall, as you said, there was a bit of pressure, I would say, on the management of Rushall, certainly talking to some Rushall supporters. But, Richard Snakers and his team, they're doing very well, pulling it back. And as you mentioned, Ben, yeah, they're right in the hunt. Just 4 defeats for them in the league as well.
Now, also in the hunt, but admittedly playing a lot more than anyone else. It takes something to have played more games than Nantwich Town this season. But Hales Owen Town have done that. They are in the playoff pictures at the moment, though. They're currently 2 points off Darlington. And this weekend, they're travelling, though, to Grantham Town. Now, Grantham Town, I think the last time we had you on, Andy, was about three or four weeks ago we had you on. And at that time, Grantham Town were showing a bit more life about them. And now they're out of the relegation zone. What do you think?
Doing terrifically well. Inflicted Salford's first away defeat in, I think, about 6 months, isn't it?
Last week. 72 games, I believe the record was.
Goodness me.
That was a joke. Outrageous. That was a joke. I don't know what the record was. Anyway.
Might not be far off. Yeah, terrific win for Grantham. As you said, they're on great form at the moment. Playing some good football as well. Saw them at Whitby just over a month ago. And they were unlucky to only draw. They were very good. They played us off the park in the second half in that game. And Hillsong, I've really got to pay real compliment to the quality of the match day videos they get of their games. Watch the match against Hyde. I've got to say, how Hyde didn't win that game, I have no clue. I think they hit the woodwork three times. Hillsong, decent side, big, solid, well organised. And it will be, again, a clash of styles. Hillsong playing in that style. And Grantham, as I said, play some good football. Could be a really good absorbing clash of styles.
And this next fixture is quite interesting, because I think both of these sides have showed much promise this season, but not really seen it through, even though admittedly it's only December, but I think listeners know what I mean. And it's this fixture here, Hyde United against Buxton.
Yeah, they showed some real flashes of quality, yeah. Haven't they? Yeah, both sides, both play good football, both have goals in them as well. Team Spencer leading the line for Hyde, and also Ayrton Bevins there as well. So lots and lots of goals in them. Buxton, yeah, just a few games in hand. You never know. They might just get into that top half picture. It's just so tight at the moment that nobody's really out of it yet, even though we're almost halfway through the games. Yeah, God knows how to call this one, but yeah, just two places separate them. Two teams that can really impress on the day.
And it's now time for Joyce's piece of correspondence of the week. I'm going to try and read this out, and here we go. Hyde away for Buxton. After two bruising games at home, we'll do well to get a point. That's Buxton, that is. But we hope for miracles. And just to change those cheap footballs we use. Joycey, we don't. The footballs are fine. The footballs are fine. Anyway, moving along. And we've got this fixture here. Michelover Sports against Marine. And admittedly, if you base it on league position at the moment, this is a relegation six-pointer. However, Marine, they're 2 points behind Michelover Sports. How can I put this? They've played seven games less Marine have over Michelover. Is it a relegation six-pointer, or are Marine fine and Michelover in a bit of trouble here?
Speaking as a supporter of the team that are 5 points behind Marine, having played four games more, of course it's a relegation six-pointer, Ben. It's an absolute rocket buster. I've seen both of these teams in recent weeks, and certainly a lot more impressed by Marine than I was at Michelover. They're in dreadful form, Michelover, at the moment. I think they've only had one win since September. And it shows, really, they're not a great team at the moment. They're struggling. And Marine, you think they only really need a couple of wins, and I think they'll be fine, especially considering all the concern they had with the change of management in the summer and all the upheaval there. I think a lot of Mariners fans would have been fearing the worst for this season, but they've really acquitted themselves very well, and that position is probably a little bit of an anomaly.
Now, just before we get to the match of the day, which is Salford City against Whitby Town, of course, let's deal with this another relegation six-pointer here, Ramsbottom United against Colwyn Bay. This is a fixture where no team can really afford not to win.
Yeah, indeed. Colwyn Bay, a level on points with Whitby, third bottom, Colwyn Bay on goal difference behind the Blues. Not many teams can say that. It certainly is. Ramsbottom's game in hand as well on Colwyn Bay and Stamford above them. They're 12 points adrift of safety, Ramsbottom. When they play Whitby and absolutely play them off the park 4-1, in a midweek game, I thought, well, this is the start for Ransbottom. They're going to put some results together. I don't even think they've won since then. So, not wanting to put the kibosh on them too much. Colwyn Bay, you know, equally, just four wins all season in the league. They'll be desperate for the points. Still think that this is a great chance for them. If they take Ransbottom lightly, though, they will lose.
And here we go, then. Match of the day on Saturday, Salford City against Whitby Town, the last league fixture we're previewing on this week's show. What do you reckon?
Goodness me, yes. There'll be a few people in North Yorkshire praying that Salford rest a few lads ahead of the big FA Cup replay with Hartlepool United. Despite the fact that Salford have struggled a little bit at home this season, to say the least, held third, it just shows how incredible they are on their travels. Just two wins at home in the league. Whitby have already scrapped to a draw at Salford's ground earlier in the season in the FA Cup. We won't talk about the replay, and they've they'll be confident. They'll think that they can go there and get a result. It's a first game for Chris Hardy, their new manager, to take the reins. I know if the game had been on last week at Skelmersdale with Hardy not having taken training before his appointment there, he would have taken a back seat, and Lee Bullock, the assistant boss who was caretaker manager in between Darren Williams' sacking and Hardy's appointment, would have picked the team. I'm not sure whether that will be the case this weekend with Hardy having taken training on Wednesday. We will see. But big challenge for him. The one remaining MPL side in the FA Cup, Salford City. But might just be a little bit of uncertainty amongst the Salford management there, whether they're going to pick the full side with such a huge fixture to come in midweek. That might just give Whitby an opening.
Well, and of course there'll be full coverage on Whitby Town Radio.
Oh my God, yes. Whitby-Town. Whitby-town.com. I say that. I haven't got my press passes through yet. But hopefully we'll be up there bringing you live coverage of that game from 3 p.m. Joel Whitman joining myself and Paul Connolly on commentary.
Well, Andy, if you need a tour guide or anything, because I'm from Salford, I can show you the sights of Salford Precinct or Salford Quays, of course, or all the great sites of Langworthy and Kersal. I can show you those lovely places, but if you'd like at all, just let me know.
Grade two listed. I'm hearing about the precinct, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. Grade two something. Anyway, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thanks for joining us this week. How can people follow Whitby Town Radio? Just one last plug.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. If you go to whitby-town.com, there's a link in the corner there and on the menu as well. And you can follow us on Twitter as well, at Whitby Town Radio.
Perfect. Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Pleasure, Ben.
And now for your correspondence. Dennis Vickers has been in touch to say our game at Stocksbridge is not on due to their success in the FA Trophy. So, night out for the lads. Hope Stocksbridge do well. Thank you for your correspondence, Dennis. Ant Taylor's been in touch to say fingers crossed that Lancaster City can get the electric back up and running for the visit of Borough on Saturday. Anthony McNeish has been in touch to say game against Northwich, very difficult. Hopefully, we'll get a result. We being, of course, Spennymoor Town, who are hosting Northwich Victoria this weekend. Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say local trip to Prescott this Saturday instead of Boxing Day for Warrington, this time hoping for a win. And his colleague Ryan James Bedard has been in touch to say Warrington away to Prescott. No repeat of last time, please. Ian George has been in touch to say a tough game at the Weaver Stadium for Nantwich against Matlock Town, but hopefully the Dabbers will come out winners and progress into the next round for the first time ever in front of an expected bumper crowd. Whilst Phil Lindley's been in touch to say on the other side of the fence, not too sure of Matlock's chances with 8 first-teamers out as of yesterday. May well see the manager and coach getting their legs out for this one. Well, I never, Phil. Ian Lummis has been in touch to say Tividale visit the Moat and are very much bottom of the league. We must not give them anything. The fight and passion of Tuesday needs to be replicated and we'll be safer for now. Ian Lummis, by the way, is a Gresley FC fan. Phil Harrison's been in touch to say fingers crossed that Northwich bounce back from their heroic FA Cup defeat. 3 points should put a smile back on the trickiest faces. Good luck, Jim, and the boys. And lastly, Steve Canham has been in touch to say FA Trophy for the Glass Boys this weekend. We beat Harriers a few weeks ago in the FA Cup. Let's hope for much of the same this weekend. And good luck to all our sides in the FA Trophy. Not just Stourbridge, but all of you. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for a whole new wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. A big thanks to all my guests on this week's show, and a big good luck to all our sides in the FA Trophy this weekend, and of course Salford City in the FA Cup on Tuesday night. But that's it from me. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.